Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk program, the place where we talk about everything climate, what's happening, what we're going to do about it, how we know what's happening, and always speaking of climate in a respectful way. As you know, there's a broad spectrum of opinions out there about all aspects of climate change, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. The opinions, beliefs, ideology versus reality, and how we can do a good job of making up our minds what's real, what's not, and choosing what to do and to what and what to not do. I'd love to hear from you if you've got an opinion on all of this that you'd like to express. You can contact me at John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby, and I'm going to be talking a bit about them later on as well. It's been a while since I've talked about who I am and why I'm talking about climate, so let's just do that here for a moment. I am an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby and Citizens Climate Education. You can Google them and get a feel for what that organization is like. One of the biggest features of that organization is it's nonpartisan, and partisanship is going to be a part of what I'm talking about today. So my background, other than being an activist, I am a graduate of Evergreen State College. I've lived in South King County or Pierce County for most of my life, most of my adult life. Did a brief span and back in Minnesota, 15 years if you want to call that brief. But I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Northwesterner, grew up in Oregon, attended the University of Oregon, graduated from Evergreen State. I also have a certificate in energy innovation and emerging technologies from Stanford University, and I'm a continuing education instructor in climate change at Tacoma Community College. But you know, I think in the final analysis, credentials only get you so far. What's really important is that we each individually dig into what's going on with the climate, because it's such a critical issue, and making wise decisions are going to impact the environment and, by extension, us as a species for a long, long time. And let me just toss out here, we take good care of the environment not because we're good folks or because we want to do the right thing or because we love the earth. We take care of the environment because it's necessary to our survival, the survival of our very complex civilization and our very large earthly population. I think most people would agree with me that climate change has become a partisan issue. So I want to take a look at that. To what extent is it partisan, and why is it partisan? And as concerned citizens, how do we deal with our fellow citizens regarding climate? In my studies, I've come across a social psychologist named Carol Tavris. She's done an incredible amount of work working on understanding how people come to the conclusions that they come to. An interesting question, since we come to so many varied conclusions on the same subject. One of the findings that she's demonstrated is that we have our ideologies, our belief structure, and from there we make our conclusions. There's an expression, seeing is believing, but according to Dr. Tavris, what really happens is we develop a set of beliefs, we filter out what we see in the world, and from there come to our conclusions. Believing is seeing. Let me give you a simple example of what I'm talking about here. Let's take the Flat Earthers. Now, you might believe that the Flat Earth Society was just a bunch of folks who were having some fun, but the reality is they really, truly believe that the Earth is flat. Now, you can wonder, along with me, how they could come to that conclusion, given the evidence that it's not flat and the widespread consensus in science that the Earth is round and that it rotates around the sun, not the sun around the Earth. But that group filters out data, puts their own spin on things, and can conclude and believe with great passion that the earth is actually flat. Now, it's easy for us to see that bias. It's not quite so easy for us to see our own bias, because by definition, we pretty much believe that our own opinions are factual, and people who disagree with us are not factual. So one of the things I'm encouraging you, me, everyone to do is to pay close attention to how our pre-held beliefs are influencing what our conclusions are, what we think is real and what we think is not real. It's an interesting exercise, and it's important in making sound decisions, not only about climate, but about everything else. When it comes to looking at divides in opinion on climate, it's fairly easy to demonstrate that climate opinion is driven by our ideology, by our left-right position on the political spectrum, with those right of center being critical or doubtful regarding the science of climate change, and people on the left of the spectrum being concerned and convinced regarding the reality of climate change. However, I'm going to say that it's not quite that simple. There's what I think is quite an amazing research group at Yale University. It's called the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication. You can Google it. There's an incredible amount of information there regarding climate communication, why we think what we do, and what the actual data on the ground is, broken all the way down to congressional districts, counties, states, and so on. So one of the things they've done is break down opinion based on whether people identify primarily as Republicans or primarily as Democrats. So on the question, is global warming real and caused by humans, the breakdown is 27% of Republicans agree that that's the case, and 72% of Democrats agree that's the case. Another question, do scientists agree on the reality of global climate change? And the breakdown there is 36% of Republicans believe they do agree, and 71% of Democrats believe they agree. So it would be easy to conclude from that that climate change is simply a partisan issue, but I'm saying not so fast. About a third of Republicans agree that climate change is a problem worthy of our concern, and almost 4 out of 10 Republicans agree that most scientists agree on the subject of climate change. One of the really important things that's going on here is that climate change has become somewhat of a trigger phrase for conservatives. If questions about the environment are asked in a different way, the result is quite different in terms of conservative opinion. If questions are asked about taking good care of the environment, regulating carbon dioxide as a pollutant, or getting us weaned off of coal for electrical power, a significant majority of conservatives agree that we should be doing those things. Climate change, as a phrase, unfortunately, has become coded as an effort by the left to implement their agenda, a sort of a Trojan horse operation, rather than actually really being concerned about the climate. So when we talk to conservatives about the climate, carbon dioxide, and so on, it's probably going to be more effective to have the conversation about pollution and a clean environment than it is about climate change. So let's take a look at some organizations that are actually on the ground doing work right now that might come as a bit of a surprise. There's an aspect, a branch of the Tea Party, referred to as the Green Tea Party. There's a woman, Debbie Dooley, who is the motivating force behind that group, the inspiration and the energy. And she is quoted as saying, "I support all clean energy. I think it's more fiscally responsible to prevent damage to the environment than it is to try to clean it up." She makes a great point there, because so many times we're more willing to deal with the consequences of poor decisions than to do a better job of the decisions in the first place. There's another organization, Young Evangelicals for Climate Action. By the way, you can Google all these organizations and dig into them a bit deeper and find out what it is that they're up to, what they have to say. The catchphrase for the Young Evangelicals for Climate Action is, love God, love your neighbor, act on climate. These are college-age kids who are concerned about their future and the future of the Earth. There's another organization, Young Conservatives, have recently pointed out that 70% of Republican voters under the age of 40 accept the science behind our understanding of climate change. And these same Young Conservatives are fearful that the party stance on climate is going to hurt the party looking downstream with the younger voters. One of my most admired climate scientists is Catherine Hayhoe. She's from Texas Tech. She's a chair of the environmental department there. And she is an evangelical Christian. Dr. Hayhoe is all over the internet, including a lot of YouTubes of her presentations and lectures. Highly recommend her. She's published a book entitled A Climate for Change, Global Warming for Faith-Based Decisions. She, being a conservative Christian, doesn't see any conflict between her faith and her concerns about the climate. So let's talk about Citizens Climate Lobby for a bit here. Citizens Climate Lobby is a nonpartisan organization. What does that mean? Well, for one thing, it means that Citizens Climate Lobby never endorses individual politicians running for office, nor does it endorse one party or the other. I think it's fair to say that there are more left-of-center folks than right-of-center folks at Citizens Climate Lobby, but folks with conservative points of view make up a very significant portion of the organization, something like a third. There's actually a conservative caucus in Citizens Climate Lobby that looks at climate from a conservative perspective and shares the ultimate concern of all of us regarding climate and the long-term consequences of carbon dioxide pollution. Once again, I urge you to spend some time on the internet Googling these various organizations and finding out what they have to say, and it becomes apparent that the partisanship is not quite as monolithic as it might appear. So we started out talking about ideology driving beliefs, and from beliefs we develop our opinions, and from there we decide what it is we're actually going to do. It's really not a good way of doing things. Let me give you an example. I was in the Marine Corps from 1963 to 1968, and if you were in the Marines during that time period, you went to Vietnam, which I did. I spent a little over a year there in pretty much daily combat up along the DMZ. As a nation, we went to war there based on ideology, not on facts. The ideology was anti-communism, and the coded phrase was the domino effect, the fear that countries were going to fall to communism if we didn't intervene militarily. Well, we did intervene. We were pretty much unsuccessful militarily and politically there. The dominoes didn't fall, and all of the cost in human life and treasure was wasted because we made decisions based on ideology, not based on reality. And I'll just finish up by saying I'm not lecturing anybody. Everything I've said here is as true about me as it is about everybody else. And the lesson I take away is that I have to be constantly on guard regarding how I've reached my conclusions. Is it reality-based or is it ideologically based? Well, that's it for now. I'd love to hear from you, john@cctacoma.org. And now reminding you, as always, live like the mountain's out. Take care.